Good morning and welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. My name is Ruthie C. and you are listening to News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Happy Monday morning to you. I am joined this morning by Mr. Wesley Odom, who is the president of Armada Advisors. Good morning, Wesley. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Ruthie. It's a pleasure to be here on this slightly rainy day, or I guess increasingly rainy day.
Yes, it is. It is looking a little bit soggy out there, but I'm glad we still made it in and not having any major issues so far. Of course, we're keeping an eye on things, and we're very happy to welcome you and to learn more about Armada Advisors. And would you mind sharing just a little bit about your mission with Armada and your team there?
Well, Armada Advisors has been around since 2009. And it is a registered investment advisory firm here in Pensacola. Most of our custody is done at Fidelity Investments, and a lot of people have heard of Fidelity. It's the largest retirement plan provider in the world, actually. And anyway, it's basically it's a fee for only service, which is different than a traditional brokerage firm, which charges commission and people get paid for different fees and products they sell. We're not obligated to sell anything like that.
I see. And so tell us a little bit about how long Armada Advisors has been part of our community here.
Well, you know, I started in the financial services in 1992. Working for a major warehouse, and then in 2009 I broke away to form Armada Advisors because it just made sense with what was going on in the market back in 2009. We had the financial meltdown in 2008-2009, and my former employer was telling us to invest in some things that weren't in the best interest of clients. I felt really strongly about that you should never be in a situation where you're being told to sell things that are really not good. And, you know, having been in the business at that time, 17 years in 2009, I said, you know, I think there's got to be a better way. And so that's when I reached out to contact Fidelity, and don't regret it. I know my clients, we had like something like around 90% of our clients transfer over to Armada Advisors from the former brokerage firm, and it's all been good because they've gotten more returns than they ever would have had they stayed.
That's wonderful. That's really what it's all about, isn't it? Doing the most with the time that you have, making just the wisest investments possible. And so when someone is interested in beginning a relationship with Armada Advisors, what is the best way for them to reach out and to get their questions answered?
Well, I think that it all begins in conversation. You have to indicate to what extent you what your objectives are. You know, let's say a widow, for example, wants to become a bag lady, you know, and that's should be a very important priority. And you don't want to top your money and be restricted so you can't get to it. You want to be able to access it. And I think that when you come to someone like myself, you know, you want to lay the cards on the table and you want to say, okay, this is what my needs are and also what your expenses are. You know, that's very important. You know, what do you have? What are your expenses? And how do we make that fit? How do we make sure that you don't become a bag lady, for example?
Absolutely. So it's very dependent on this person's goals and their situation, their season of life, that type of thing.
Right.
And so as someone who is in a pretty early stage of the investment portfolio game, I'm curious if you have any advice around just the current climate as far as, is this a good time to invest? I know we've got an election going on, of course, a worldwide pandemic. What are your thoughts on that these days?
Well, that's a good question. You know, Peter Lynch, who is the portfolio manager of Fidelity Magellan Mutual Fund back in the 1980s, early 90s, he was asked the same question, except not for the pandemic part. He was asking, you know, when's a perfect time to invest? And his answer was, when you have the money.
Well, that's a good answer.
Yeah, exactly. When you have the money. So there's always things that are for sale, you know, just like if you went by in your neighborhood and you say, oh, you know, that house is really well built. I know the person who lived in it. They really did a good job. That would be a good investment. Or you go buy another house and you say, you know what, that I've been inside that house and it's really poorly built, and I know it has termites because I talked to the owner back then in the day or whatever. So, you know, there's investments that are always attractive, and there's some that are overpriced, and there's some that are underpriced. And it's important to realize that you go to a person who's not necessarily going to put you in a pie chart, so to speak, and say, okay, well, you're nothing but a pie chart. We're going to have this much in large cap value, this much in small cap, and whatever, and we're going to throw you in a smorgasbord and hope for the best. It's not about hoping. Hoping is not an investment strategy. You know, some people like buy security, whatever, and they think, well, I'm hoping it's going to come back. Well, you know, again, if you're talking to an investment guy who's saying, we've got to hope, come on. No, we're not about hope. It's about what are the numbers, what's the outlook, and what kind of time horizon realistically are we going to get a rate of return? And that's fundamentally it. You can't be hoping for everything. So anyway, in regards to the pandemic, I remember when we first started the pandemic back in March, or at least that's when the lockdown started to happen. We came out with a video, and that's one thing we do periodically at Armada Advisors. We have a website, and we publish all our videos we do. So you can look back years to see what we were telling clients and whatnot. But what we told them back then, it says, hey, in pandemics earlier, 6 months and 12 months, the stock market for the most of the time goes up so much percent. And a lot of people back then were like thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to go to hell in a handbasket. Well, you know, we did in March. It did look pretty bleak, but you know what? We've come back resiliently. It's amazing. So I don't think we're at the end of the cliff. I don't think we're going to be hoisting the white flag. We need to run to the exits. I don't think anything like that. I think there are certain securities will do better if perhaps one party is elected versus another party. But right now, the market does not seem to be concerned that much with a surprise in the election at this point. And so as a result, I think that things look really propitious for certain sectors that you would want to be in.
Thank you so much for that. And I'm so happy to know that you have this library of video resources available. That's on the website. Anyone can check those out?
Yes, absolutely. We publish all our videos to let the public see what we are talking about. Initially, it goes out to the clients, and then later on, we put that video live for everyone. And there also, I should say, in regards to what you talked about earlier, you know, there are some sectors and companies are going to do better no matter who's elected. You know, some people can say, well, you know, I need to wait until after the election. Well, why? When this company perhaps is a really good value right now and in a few months is going to be still making money, and it doesn't matter who's elected. So, but there's certain companies obviously that will be negatively affected if certain parties are elected. So you have to be cognizant of that when you do. And that's when you work with a financial advisor, one who knows what they're doing. It's been around, like, you know, I've been doing this, for 27 years plus. So it's a long time.
That is quite some time. And like you said, just because we've seen what a lot of people have referred to as unprecedented times this year doesn't mean we haven't seen hardships and uncertainty in the past. And so there are ways to navigate that with your financial advisor, with someone who knows how to guide you and help you through those situations. That means, I love what you said, you don't have to run for the exits. This is not a bailout situation necessarily.
Right. And, you know, there's some people who believe, they'll say, well, I'll just buy the index and just go from that. And you can do that. You can buy the index. And I think that in some parts of our portfolio, we do have some clients who we do have some indexing type approach for some portion of their money, because we want to capture that unknown quantity out there. But there's also those high conviction stories that if you design your portfolio so you can have a high conviction story in your portfolio, that can enhance your portfolio immensely. And that's really, I think, where a lot of people are attracted to my particular firm, because that's what we end up doing. And as a result, we have been able to enhance the returns that a person would get versus if they were just indexing. Because indexing is nice, but it's not everything.
And that's, if there's one thing I've ever heard, is that having a diverse portfolio is probably the best way to protect yourself, like we're saying, from one industry, one sector or the other really taking a swing. So is that what, I know it's hard to just make general recommendations. Would that be one of yours?
Absolutely. You know, it even says in Proverbs, you know, with one advisor plans fail, with many advisors plans succeed. And that's just so true. I mean, you want to have a diverse set of investments that will, you know, kind of guide you in different difficult times to get from point A to point B. You don't put everything, all your eggs in one particular investment. Although sometimes I'm tempted very much so. I'll see security and say, you know, this thing is going to do so well. But you have to be disciplined. You have to realize you don't put all your eggs in one basket. We've always heard that since growing up. And, you know, that's critical when you do that kind of stuff. And it's always important to have a good attorney that you deal with, you know, for your estate planning. It's always a good idea to have a good CPA out there who can give you good tax advice. So you put these guys together, and I think that they will add value over time to get you where you need to be. Because you don't want to be in situations where you can get in a bad, really bad situation. I see it sometimes. You know, parents are really smart. They know, for example, if their kids are going to argue over their money when they die and all that, and they can make plans ahead of time, for example, to forestall any difficulties if they plan ahead. I mean, that comes by working with the attorney, working with your CPA, working with your financial advisor, come up with strategies that will minimize that kind of nastiness that can occur after someone dies.
And isn't that just the last thing you want when you are faced with the loss of your parents, and now your family maybe is not exactly sure what to do next or where to turn? How wonderful if there's a plan in place and the professionals who have taken care of the parts and pieces that are really important to really get right.
Right.
I think that just makes the most sense. And so one question, again, going back to my early stages here, if someone was interested in maybe some of the newer investment options, I guess is the right way to put this, things like Robinhood and Stash, where it's all fully online and you just give a little bit, like less than a dollar type a little bit in some cases, would you say that is a wise strategy for someone young, or is that still needs to be part of a greater plan working with a professional?
You know, that's an interesting question. We had a guy on our staff, our analyst, this summer actually did a research report for us internally, whether we should, you know, does it make sense to do a Robinhood type of approach, or does it make sense to use kind of more disciplined focus on security that you've heavily researched and kind of go that route. And what we've determined in his research was that it made sense really to focus and do your research rather than kind of randomly do this Robinhood approach. I mean, Robinhood, as you know, was a guy who was a thief who traditionally took money from the wealthy to help the poor people, supposedly. And the idea in this whole concept of Robinhood is you invest in a smorgasbord, let's say, of your own pickings of investments, and you know one of them is going to gain fruit, and you'll make a million, ideally. Well, the fact of the matter is, just because it's cheap or because you can do fractional shares or whatever doesn't necessarily mean it's a good deal. You really want to invest in a good security. For example, if you went to a racetrack, you wouldn't want to buy the field. You know, you want to try to do your research and figure out, okay, what horse has won? What is his strengths? What's his weaknesses? Who's the jockey? You want to do some research on it. Otherwise, you're just wasting money. And so, and in the research report that we did internally, it really made sense to focus on really good securities. And that's the first thing I look at when I look at a security. I look at, are they making money? You know, I mean, it's easy to spend money. We all know how to spend money and waste money. If we want to be wasteful, we know people who do that. But, you know, if you find a company that's making money, they know they can make money, and they have a good plan to expand the enterprise and to make it more, profitable over time, hence you'll be making more money. So I think that's the critical thing. Sometimes investing doesn't have to be super, super crazy. You have to use a lot of common sense, though. And I think that Robinhood kind of takes the idea is nice. Oh, I can buy for fractional shares and all these things. But what are you actually buying?
And I think that's the part where people, you know, it's nice to just drop off the thinking train if you don't have to think about it too hard or let someone else. And it feels, I would say it almost feels like, well, you're checking a box. Well, I have some investments. But if you're not doing the research or connected to, like you said, do they have a good plan for expanding? Or is this just willy-nilly throwing money out there? Is still just willy-nilly throwing money out there?
Right.
Well, if you are just tuning in, you are listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. My name is Ruthie C., and I am joined this morning by Wesley Odom, who is the president of Armada Advisors. And if you have questions about investment strategy, please give us a call or send a text to 850-437-1620, and we will do our best to get those questions answered for you. We're talking about how now is... it's still a good time to be, you know, paying attention to your investments and maybe even to get started if you've been thinking about it and maybe been waiting for the perfect moment or the perfect sign. Wesley, would you say there's such a thing?
You know, in all of my since 1992, there's never been a sign where the green light goes off and said, this is the time you have to invest right now. I mean, there's certainly certain days in which you go, golly, that certain security, whatever, is really good price. Historically, it's traded for, you know, whatever, and you can look back and do the research. Even in the recently in March when we had certain securities were selling off, we were buying a lot of securities for really cheap prices for some clients. Even then I said, you know, even though it's these are good prices, you could always go a little bit lower. I mean, you never know exactly how low a low is until after the low.
I guess that's very true. You don't know the bottommost point until
exactly.
It starts to turn up.
Exactly. So, I mean, you could fundamentally look at it and say, well, historically, it's never sold for this low, whatever, on this metric. And the same thing with the upside. You know, there was recently we had Apple, as you know, reached an all-time high. And it did a 4-for-1 split. And I had a lot of clients call me up saying, hey, I got to get on this Apple train and more Apple. And I said, listen, don't do it right now. Why? Because it's historically, it's way too high. You know, your chances for upside, but they're going to be bringing their new iPhone or whatever it is. And I said, well, just stand back and wait.
Mm-hmm.
It was so difficult to try to keep the horses in the stall. They just wanted to run. And now, you know, the stock has, you know, plummeted in value a great deal. And it's amazing. Some of those people are calling me back saying, I'm so glad you didn't make me buy at the top. So, I mean, that's one thing an advisor can do. He can knock you sometimes guide you. Not to say that he has all the answers. We don't necessarily. But sometimes we can use some math to kind of say, hey, this doesn't make sense right now. You know, there's other companies out here that have a lot more upside you might have not heard of, but are trading for a lot lower. So why would you want to pay at the levels that you're paying for an Apple, for example, when your upside is only limited, but you've got that feel good. That's all it matters, but feel good.
I think that's so important to remember that there are trusted advisors for a reason who are not just going to run with the... It can be kind of a roller coaster and an emotional. You wake up and you check and how are things going? What are things doing? Buy, sell. But there can be strategy and method. And I know one of my biggest things to always work on in life is patience. So making sure that you have that trusted advisor to help you patiently get the best and the best returns. So we do have a question that just got sent in via text, and this individual asks, what would you suggest as a good percentage to contribute to a 401k? My employer matches 6%. I contribute 6%. Should I do more? Thanks.
Okay, great question. I think that you definitely want to get that match. So the person is doing the great thing by getting that 6% match. I always tell people you're throwing money away if you don't at least put the money into your match equivalent. So if it's 6%, you've got to do 6%. This person's doing 10%, which is great. Historically, if you in your 20s, you should do at least 10% of your money and for retirement. If you're getting closer to, if you're in your 50s and you haven't done anything, then, you know, obviously you need to go beyond that 10%. You need to increase it even more so. So, but I think right now that if you're in their 20s or early 30s, 10% is a really judicious amount to put in, especially since you think about it, if you're putting in 10%, you're getting 6% on the guy side, on the company side. That's huge. You're going to retire on time every time. Realistically, you really are. There's a financial tool that we utilize at Armada Advisors with Fidelity, and it's a retirement plan analysis tool. And what we do is we punch in the amount of money that a person's putting in, let's say like in this case 10%, and then we punch in 6% that the company's putting in, and we do some assumptions of what Social Security might look like, And we also do some expense calculations. We ask what kind of expenses. And we're actually able to point out within a fairly good reason if this person could retire, let's say, at 65, 66, whatever. So it gives kind of like that unknown, a little bit more certainty. But yeah, I think that this person is definitely on the right spot. I think that also they want to make sure they readdress what they're invested in. You know, there's some good strategies right now in 401ks that have these target date funds. And these are really nice because you can say, you know, well, I'm, let's say, 25 years of age or 35, and I want to retire when I'm 65. So you can choose the 2045 or the 2050 retirement portfolio, or the 2035 retirement portfolio, whatever. And the closer you get to that retirement, the more conservative the portfolio theoretically will become. And you won't be, you know, have a large drop, hopefully, by the time you retire and wipe out your savings. You know, that might be one good strategy to think about, you know, in your overall thing. But you definitely don't want to be in all fixed income right now. Now is not a good time to do that. You want to definitely trust the professionals and consider one of those target date funds.
I am furiously taking notes over here because this is just such good information. And I know that, of course, the sooner you start with a plan, like reaching that target date, the longer you have, not just to build up, but if you did have, you know, a fall here or there, just that extra time to recover. So, and I've always heard the best time to start planning your retirement is yesterday.
Absolutely.
But the second best time is today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like planting a tree, right?
Yes, exactly. Just like the planting the tree, because you know, once that J-O-B finally does end, or you would like it to end,
right,
then what, you know, what have you done now on the front end? And so I know that in addition to all of the financial expertise that you bring to the team, that Wesley, you also are a bit of a historian. And so I am curious if you'd like to share with us maybe just one of your a favorite story recently that you've come across that might be interesting, just to change it up a little bit.
Well, I have written two books. One's on Amazon. It's called The Longest Siege of the American Revolution, Pensacola. A lot of people don't realize that Pensacola was the longest siege, and it was 61 days. Anyway, it was interesting to when the second edition just got published. It's, as I said, it's on Amazon right now. And in that siege, I found out, I'm doing the second edition, I found out it was actually a French howitzer shell that actually caused the British redoubt to blow up, which is kind of exciting. Everyone thought it was a Spanish howitzer shell, but no, it was a French howitzer shell. And I thought it was interesting. And also thought it was interesting that I knew that the French had helped the Spanish, but they were really a lot more emphatic about him moving forward in the battle. But the Spanish really wanted to kind of not move forward as much. And so later on, after the battle was over, the French go and fight Battle of Yorktown, which we all knew that occurred, but didn't realize how effective the French were in attacking a British redoubt in the Battle of Yorktown. And the same Frenchmen who had fought in Pensacola fought in that battle. And it's interesting, they were able to take the British fort in literally like a matter of minutes, like around between 10 and 20 minutes. And the Spanish thought that the French were crazy when they had told the Spanish in Pensacola they wanted to do that. They said, "We can't do that." And so, but yet they actually proved that they did it. So it's rather interesting.
That is just fascinating. Well, how about that? And now we know something more about our beautiful town and our historic roots, which of course is just so important. And I would like to say thank you so much, Mr. Wesley Odom of Armada Advisors, for joining this segment on the Pensacola Expert Panel. If you are looking for a professional who can guide you through some of these uncharted territories and new waters, check out armadaadvisors.com and reach out to Wesley Odom. Thank you so much, Wesley.
Thank you very much, Ruthie. Appreciate it.